This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock. Here's Caleb Williams. He'll run it. Williams looking. Touchdown, Trojans.
Bears been around more than 100 years. They haven't had a whole lot of dominant quarterback play.
Yep.
Does that intimidate you at all?
Whole lot of dominant quarterback play? Nah. No, not at all.
Terrific throw and catch right there, Caleb Williams.
He goes straight into his English class after he caught that one. He's all the way almost out of the stadium.
Oh, they're going to punt it.
Oh, they're quick.
Right, that's how we're going to end it, it would appear.
That's something the Bears fans don't want to see much of.
No, not with Caleb Williams.
And now it's time for the Scores Draft Preview Special with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station.
3 hours of Bears draft talk is about to hit you in the good way, the best of ways, as that's what we are doing right here on The Score. I am Mark Grody.
Where are we making contact with that? As we hit him with this draft coverage, are we hitting him in the chest? Are we hitting him square in the jaw?
Where do they need to be?
Is there a junk punch happening here with the draft coverage? What? I mean, what do they need to be prepared for?
I don't know. You tell me. Where would you throw the first punch? You know where I would throw the first punch?
Yeah.
With the number one overall pick.
I like that.
With the number one overall pick.
Just swinging a number one haymaker at Bears fans.
Oh, yeah. They've been swinging haymakers for the last couple of years. I was just talking to to Alex Kuhn, who is with us, as well as he is executively producing the show here on The Score. And we were talking about it's pretty unbelievable that the Bears have had the number one overall pick the last 2 years. And we know what they did with it last year. They ended up not having it, and they netted DJ Moore, and ultimately it ended up going to the Chicago Bears. But this year they do have the number one overall pick.
Yeah, you love that, because the way that the Bears have operated over the couple of years that Ryan Poles has been running things, a lot of it has led to this moment. All of it has certainly led to this moment, but the anticipation that's been there seems to be surrounding exactly what we'll experience on Thursday. And for them to have multiple picks within the top 10 and then a fairly light load from that point. So we've all been sort of leading up to this in this sort of, you know, kind of hyperkinetic pace that we've been sprinting towards the top pick, and then they've got their own pick at number 9 right now. Then from there, it's not a lot else that the Bears are likely to be doing throughout the remainder of the draft. So there's been a lot leading up to this moment, all the anticipation and urgency and energy and, you know, everyone that's had all these big reactions, and then it's going to happen. And then for the rest of the draft, we'll just be able to kind of look back at what the Bears did that we all kind of expected they were going to do.
Here's what we're going to do on the show tonight. We're going to talk just a lot of this with Anthony Herron and me for the next 3 hours. But we are also going to have on Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox, also of 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He'll be on with us here at 6:25. Yes, at 7 o'clock, E.J. Snyder of the Bootleg Podcast, and at 8 o'clock, Lawrence Holmes. What you got? Nothing for
Pink. Let's go Pink. Lawrence probably got a pink shirt.
Lawrence Holmes. I would like to do a little production meeting here right now. Are you are you hearing yourself weird right now? Is that what's going on? There's a lot of antsiness. You know, here's what's going on. Yes, apparently this has been going on.
Oh, okay.
So this is what it is. I don't think it sounds
so this is not new to us. All right.
People listening. I heard them discussing it. I didn't see a memo or anything like that, but I heard them discussing something might sound weird.
That's good to know. Yeah. I wasn't trying to break your flow in there. I was just seeing if there was anything I needed to fix really quickly. Okay.
I got everything. So I did become a little bit unattached and detached. Things felt weird. I had voices in my head and I figured out what was going on.
Well, as long as it only sounds weird to us, if it doesn't sound weird to the listener, then I think we're probably good. But yeah, I was just curious if there's anything I could tweak really quickly to try to fix
good.
What we
Yeah, you're jumping right. over here with your wrench and Coon is in my ear. So it's amazing that we've gotten through what we've gotten through so far.
It's got to be the Russians.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame them.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on today because I was just going to say this is the worst. This has been the worst day of my life.
It's not a good really week hasn't. For this.
I'm telling
either.
You. Because I was going to say, look, we are open, by the way, for texters, and we may even take some calls later. So we're open at 312-644-6767 for to call or to text. Normally at this point, well, I'll do it for your sake. I would say, hey, we can also hang out on Twitter.
Uh-huh,
we can do
right?
that, where I typically would do that at Mark Grody Sports, where I hang out with the people that I follow and that follow me.
Yeah.
And you are at Big Ant.
I'm at Big Ant Heron. And so I think the we that you phrased that with, the term you use, normally both of us would be able to do that throughout the show, interact with the folks on social. It's not a we, though. It's more of a me as it relates to the next 3 hours, unless something miraculous happens with your social media account.
Exactly. I am on X, I guess. Maybe that's why they're angry that I keep calling it Twitter. But for some reason, my Twitter account is – I can't get access to it anymore. I know it exists out there at Mark Grody Sports, but for some reason, and the picture has been taken down, the account is still there, the content is still there, but I've tried every single thing you could possibly try today to get myself back online.
Did you try to tweet?
Because I couldn't get onto the account.
Okay, all right, I got no more solutions for you. That's all I got.
And I'm gonna be done talking about this because and I'm sure some people are like, yeah, man, I've had this. But look, if you work at Twitter, call the radio
You're
station.
You're within the sound of Mark Grody's voice, and you work at Twitter.
Send it to my Instagram account. Say,
what
hey.
Did you do?
Yes. I don't know what I did. Shane was asking, did I hit a link or something? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Like it feels like they took me off. I don't know. Or
where are you
hacked.
At on the gram? Remind me of your Insta.
Mark_Grody.
Okay.
I
all right.
think.
Similar, but
I
not
think.
The same. Yeah.
yeah.
Right. Well, yeah.
All
inbox
I noticed
him
was
Mark_Grody.
And his picture went away on Twitter. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah, last week.
Oh, this has been going on for a little while.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess it was at the end of the week. I let it be because it was one of those things, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but it's fishy. Maybe I'm just stupid, so I'll leave it alone. I'll let Twitter rest, and then no, it hasn't come back up, and now I'm antsy. Now I'm concerned. Now it has gone to actual emergency.
Yeah.
So that's basically I've spent the last 3 hours trying to get back online.
I mean, people are going to be looking for you on Twitter with Bears stuff.
I know. Well, tomorrow.
With Bears hits.
For instance, Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, will be speaking to the media tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I plan to be there with Twitter or not at noon, where he will answer our questions. I guess answering would be relative, but that is definitely coming tomorrow as well. And I guess while I'm at it, I don't know if people have heard much about this or what's going on with the Bears stadium situation, and we don't know much as of yet, but I do have a media advisory in my hands here right now, which might give some clues that the Bears to announce plans for new stadium and additional green and open space on the museum campus on Wednesday, April 24th. So, yeah, the city officials are going to be there, and we shall see exactly what will happen when they meet on Wednesday. In fact, here's what it says. Chicago Bears in collaboration with city officials and stakeholders, will host a press conference Wednesday, April 24th, to announce their plans for a state-of-the-art, publicly owned, enclosed stadium, along with additional green and open space with access to the lakefront for families and fans on the museum campus. So we shall see.
Sounds very significant.
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, one of these stories beyond Caleb Williams that many of us have been paying close attention to, the folks have been talking about, concerning themselves with, is where the Bears will be spending their future. Will it be continuing on the lakefront, or will they be moving to Arlington Heights? And so the way this press release reads, the way that recent events and reporting has been going, as we saw the momentum swing from one direction to the next, for the moment, it does seem that the momentum of these conversations are that the Bears are planning to be on the lakefront. It didn't feel that believable for a little while because of everything that had already taken place, at least from a financial investment perspective going up to Arlington. But their negotiations seem to have hit an impasse, and the city of Chicago and Mayor Brandon Johnson figured something out with Kevin Warren. And so I guess they will continue to be not only in name, but in location, the Chicago Bears.
I'm astonished if that is the case, if that does happen, and everything that you said makes sense. And there is,
I mean, like, why else would they be calling in a press conference for it?
There's, you know,
it's a very specific presser yeah. that they've called here
yeah.
to talk about the lakefront and the plans for all these things. I mean, I don't know why you'd go that far just for a negotiating ploy with Arlington.
Yeah, at this point, this would be like losing the Olympics. When the city of Chicago did not get the Olympics, that's what it would feel like. So I'm going to be, because we're not making anything official right now, I am going to be astonished if this is going to get done on the lakefront, astonished and happy about it.
Okay.
I have always been for the Bears staying in the city of Chicago when asked about it, and really just because I just love it being in Chicago. I don't need to go into it. If you are one of those, you know what I'm talking about. And even if you're not one of those, you understand what I'm saying. It's like a beautiful location, and I think the Bears belong in Chicago. So it's astonishing to me, but I absolutely love it if that goes down. But that will be on Wednesday. Like I said, Ryan Poles will talk tomorrow. It feels pretty likely that the Bears will be selecting Caleb Williams as their next quarterback with the number one overall pick. And here we go again if you are a Bears fan. Look, I'm very excited about this,
okay.
But I think it's still fair to say, yeah, this is the Bears have tried really hard to do this for the past two quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky moving up to number two to get him. The fanfare that went into it, if you got past the draft, and you know, Mitch Trubisky has got to be it. Mike Glennon was it, and then Mitch Trubisky was never it, obviously. And he did not work out. Then Justin Fields, the great hope of Justin Fields, where the volume went up even louder at that point, and he ultimately has failed to be sustainable as the Bears' number one quarterback. So that now brings us to Caleb Williams, who will be picked by the Bears as the number one overall pick on Thursday night. What's going to be different about it in this case? Is it just because he's a better prospect than those two previous guys are? And I feel comfortable saying that he's a better prospect even coming out of college than both of those guys. But why will things be different this time with the Bears and developing a quarterback?
I don't know that it will. I think that's it's a big assumption that I feel like a lot of people have made for months now. As many of us have discussed the evaluation of Caleb Williams, the excitement about what he brings to the table, the level of prospect that he is, just like the raw physical skills that are there are exceptional. The playmaking ability that, you know, for me, I separate it a little bit from just the tangible of the arm strength and the mobility and even just the pure talents of the nuance that he can throw the ball with as a passer. I separate the two a little bit from also just where I think he's got the ability just as a playmaker. You know, there's kind of a gene that he has with a feel for playmaking. You know, he's more of a, the term I've used with Justin Fields is that he's not necessarily a natural point guard. He's more of a shooting guard who can distribute. He's a scoring guard who can distribute the ball.
I like that.
Whereas there's a lot of those natural point guard tendencies that Caleb Williams does have, and the ability that he has just to sort of feel the moment and you know, some of the art that there is to the way that he plays the quarterback position. He plays with a creativity, with a flair that Justin Fields' athleticism certainly allowed for, and there was a lot of wow moments, but Caleb Williams is more comfortable just with the way he goes about playmaking. There seems to be this sixth sense to his game that many young quarterbacks have, but Caleb has it in, you know, at another level, at a very elite level. That is the majority of his highlights. The majority of the big plays that he made in college seem to be beyond just the design of the play. It's not a lot wrong with that, but then the question that I've had, more so than a lot of what's been discussed with Caleb Williams off the field, my questions have been about the maturity of his game on the field. Not necessarily the maturity of his personality, but the maturity of his game. I talked to Lincoln Riley about this a few weeks ago, even just the fact that he hasn't played that much football yet. When you think about it, he was a backup for some of his true freshman season at Oklahoma, then eventually supplanted Spencer Rattler, who's in the draft cycle as well. Then he started for a full season and won the Heisman his first year at USC, and then, you know, started again his second year. So he's been a starting quarterback for kind of two-plus seasons of college football, 3 years removed from high school. So there's a lot more snaps of the football to be played by Caleb Williams to continue to round his game out. That doesn't mean he's not an exceptional prospect, but he's a very much unfinished prospect, as all these guys are when they come to the National Football League. So for my evaluation, there's still some unanswered questions in that regard, but he's more than worthy of the number one overall pick, but I still will view him like I view any other rookie quarterback, where you have to, in my mind, view it with some reality of some of those struggles that will be there as he learns the NFL game. But he is being dropped into this exceptional situation with the talent that surrounds him on offense that they've enhanced, with the defense that is in place that continues to be bolstered. And I would imagine between now and the start of the regular season, they'll even continue to bolster it more with another pass rusher or three, hopefully. So it's an exceptional spot for a number one overall pick to go into, and one that we've rarely, if ever, seen for a number one overall pick quarterback before.
It's so hard to that part about the patience, I think, especially this time around.
Yeah.
Because of what we have seen from Caleb Williams on the field, obviously, we've all seen it with our eyes, and the people that really know, like you and some of your fellow NFL cohorts and people in the media of prominence, there is like a 97% approval rating, it feels like, for Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are guys that go off in slightly different directions at times. There's no doubt about it in terms of prospects, but they have stayed
pretty... Like, I know you got to talk to Merrill Hodge, right? You interviewed him about Caleb. He's been a dissenting voice on what level of prospect Caleb legitimately is.
Exactly. So that dissenting voice has... That it exists, but it just feels like this time around, third time around, with what you're saying, with the fact that Keenan Allen is here with the Bears, that you have DJ Moore, that you have the tight end Gerald Everett as well, that all of these guys, and the two offensive linemen, that he's being dropped into this situation where he should succeed right away. But no, you're absolutely right that that's going to happen. Do we trust this group? It's a different group this time, headed by the same quarterback or the same head coach, Matt Eberflus. It's about Shane Waldron now and his offense and what he is going to do with Caleb. And I had somebody ask me about this the other day, what he's going to do offensively. I think part of it is, I hope he doesn't know exactly right now. I think he needs to know exactly what his rookie quarterback is capable of right away. And then he'll say, well, we'll use this playbook. We'll use this play. I don't know if there's any pages from the Geno Smith Reclamation Project page as well, which is great on his resume. But how do you look at that in terms of Shane Waldron and what he'll do with him once he gets his hands on him?
So Shane Waldron, and you know, I've done digging not only on Caleb Williams that I can go in even more detail on as we spend, you know, 3 hours here tonight just talking about the draft and the Bears and everything else, but I've done some digging on Shane Waldron as well, just folks who've been around him, folks who've watched him as an offensive play caller very closely from his time in Seattle especially. And I think that my concerns with Shane Waldron are not necessarily for his offensive mind and his acumen for that, but for in combining what Caleb Williams is as a prospect and how his game will manifest itself in the National Football League, Shane Waldron, from the digging I've done on him, will need to be, I think, the most dictatorial version of himself, I guess is the way I would describe it. A coach who will need to demand the details of the quarterback position to be carried out in a very consistent way. You think about what Caleb Williams was around in college. You know, Lincoln Riley, an exceptional offensive system and offensive mind, but not a guy who's viewed as someone who like grinds on players, grinds on quarterbacks for detail in college.
Okay.
Cliff Kingsbury, who there was a lot made of Cliff Kingsbury going to USC and having his offensive mind around things. And Cliff Kingsbury was there working with Caleb, and how great would it be for him to be Caleb's coach in the NFL as well? I think that would have been awful to have Cliff Kingsbury as Caleb's coach in the NFL also, because Cliff Kingsbury also not a guy who's viewed as a coach, especially as a quarterback coach, that demands the detail of the mechanics of quarterback on a consistent basis to be executed. And that, to me, is the type of coach that will benefit Caleb Williams' transition to the NFL. You think about the name that everyone has compared Caleb Williams most is Patrick Mahomes, and the situation, not only the talent that he went into in Kansas City, but the coach, the offensive mind that he worked with, and Andy Reid also as a guy who had developed so many other quarterbacks in years past and is demanding of the details for his quarterback. And so he didn't stop Patrick Mahomes for being this exceptional artist as a QB, but he did refine the way he played the position, and we continue to watch that refinement play out. The version of quarterback Patrick Mahomes played this last season, going in and winning another Super Bowl, it's very different than the Patrick Mahomes that was there early in his career, and we've seen that development, that maturation continue to play out with Andy Reid's leadership. Shane Waldron is not Andy Reid, will never be Andy Reid, but the version of Shane Waldron that Caleb Williams will benefit from most will be as a coach who demands the details of the quarterback, the rhythm, the timing, the footwork, all those things. He will have to hammer that away over and over and over again. And my understanding is that that hasn't always been his strong suit. He's an exceptionally nice and congenial guy, which is a great thing to be around. And you can be a player's coach, but at the same time, you can also be demanding of your players to be on top of the details on a consistent basis and to not accept anything less than your quarterback to be on top of those details every single time he steps onto the field. That, from my understanding, is where Shane Waldron will need to step his game up. So as much as drafting Caleb Williams will be an exceptional thing for the Bears because of the potential that he brings to the quarterback position, my gaze will turn very quickly to Shane Waldron and how he's working with this quarterback and nurturing his skills.
I think we hit him hard in that first segment, man. Yeah. Did we deliver? I think we did. Yeah. That's a big ant. Anthony Heron. I'm Mark Grody. We do have to take a break. When we come back, though, we will talk to Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox, also 104.3 The Fan in Denver. We will talk to him about the Bears and the NFL draft and see who he thinks the Broncos are going to pick. They need a quarterback, right? It's all coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now. Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I will say this about Caleb Williams. Guy is unbelievable talent, right? Arm talent, athletic talent, all that stuff. But there are going to be some growing pains along the way, so just be prepared for those growing pains.
Oh, man. Sounds like Anthony Heron over here. There's going to be growing pains. How could there be growing pains?
Folks don't want to hear that,
Groves. Caleb Williams.
They don't want to hear that.
Man, you guys think alike. I know. The Scores draft preview show is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I am Mark Grody, along with Anthony Herron. We get to be here talking the Bears and the draft up until 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk to E.J. Snyder a little bit later on. Also, Lawrence Holmes of the Midday Show of Bernstein and Holmes in just a little bit. But the voice you just heard, who is in compliance with Anthony Herron, is that of Mark Schlereth, as we are joined by Mark, the host of the Odyssey original podcast, The Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Mark, thanks for joining us on The Score. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Pleasure to be with you guys.
So, growing pains for Caleb Williams. I know. You know, it's something that we
do, baby.
There it is. We have had to understand that with the previous two highly drafted Bears quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. Why does there have to be that part, and where have the Bears gone wrong in the past?
Well, I mean, where have they gone wrong? I mean, there's always going to be an adjustment period going forward. And, you know, part of it is just understanding how a guy, you know, processes information, how quickly he can make decisions. I think the big thing, and this goes for every position, what you take in. So you take in information through your eyes. You have to disseminate that information and then make a split-second decision, and you have to be right. And so your ability to process information is far more important than your ability to run a fast 40 or jump over a box or do burpees or vertical jumps. Like, all that stuff doesn't equate. Like, that's a test of your athletic ability. It has nothing to do with your knowledge and your decision-making process and how quickly you process information. And so there are always going to be those growing pains. The other thing, from a college football standpoint, when you watch college football, it's hard to watch for me because it doesn't mimic the NFL. College game, you know, your base formation is four wides in college. Like, you get into that last 2 minutes of a game when you're trying to throw a Hail Mary. Other than that, you don't play in four wides ever in the NFL. The college game is completely on the outside the numbers. That's where the majority of things happen in the college game, especially in the passing game. The NFL, it's between the numbers. It's in the middle of the football field. The college game, you know, they don't huddle. They get cards off the sideline. They don't have to talk. You know, they don't have to talk in NFL parlance. They don't have to call plays. Like, there is so much growth that is going to have to occur from the day you step into the league compared to what you did throughout your college career. And, you know, it's just a large transition period. And that's why, you know, 75% of the guys that get drafted in the first round, it's not just the Chicago Bears, 75% of the quarterbacks that get drafted in the first round don't make it. They're playing for as backups for somebody else. So, like, there's a huge growth process there.
And Stank, we just got the latest example from that 2021 draft class with Zach Wilson now traded to the Denver Broncos. And a lot of the social media reaction to that news was, here's that 2021 draft class. Trevor Lawrence, he's the only one that's still with his original team. And the jury's still a little bit out on Lawrence. But Zach Wilson traded. Trey Lance traded. Justin Fields traded. Mac Jones traded. And a lot of the reaction is, all right, so that draft class stunk, Stink. But sure, That's not necessarily my reaction so much. I'm wondering about the development of quarterbacks in today's NFL. The evaluation process is worthy of question, but my bigger question is whether or not the NFL's sort of development trajectory, that the system in place, is actually serving young quarterbacks as well as it can. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. I think the development of every position is important. And a lot of that has to go with where you get drafted, the coaches that are in place, the team you have around you. All those things are part of the function. I'll tell you the other thing that I was adamantly against when it happened in 2011 with the collective bargaining agreement was, I thought it was just a huge mistake to put in the rookie wage scale.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the rookie wage scale issue is, hey, man, like, if the guy doesn't work out, we'll just draft another one. And we'll just keep kicking the can down the road. And it takes away the responsibility of the organization. The organization can continue to go down that road and sell hope to a fan base and basically not develop players. And that's, I mean, that's a real issue, and it's a real problem. And because, you know, you ultimately, if you draft a quarterback, you're paying him, what, $20-30 million? I mean, that's change in the couch cushions of the executive offices. So they're not really totally committed to that guy or committed to making that guy work. And if he doesn't, we can move on and really not hamstring our organization, because the cap keeps going up, the money keeps going up, and, hey, we'll just chalk that up to, hey, the guy was no good. And, you know, then it becomes all that guy's responsibility, right? And all the responsibility is off the organization, and it all goes on to the players. And it's completely unfair, but there's a reason why in this league the same teams are always picking in the first 10 picks. It's, you know, it's always the Jets. It's always Arizona. It is because organizationally they stink.
So do the Bears fall into that trap with Justin Fields? Do they not do him justice in his development? Kind of like,
well, I think, yeah, but I think with Justin Fields, I mean, there's a process there where, you know, again, with Justin, he kept getting better, and there was a maturity that went on with Justin. But the bottom line is you're going to have to play a style of football that, let's face it, has never been sustainable, which meaning, you know, we're going to have to run our quarterback 8-10 designed runs a game. We're going to have to run the read zone stuff. We're going to have to put him in harm's way. And eventually in this league, your quarterback is not going to survive. And, you know, he missed, what, 5 or 6 games with a dislocated thumb this year. I mean, he got hit. I called the game against Detroit. I believe, I don't know if it was in Chicago or in Detroit, because I called them both. And he just about got decapitated. Maybe it was in Chicago. And, you know, I was audibly on the broadcast. Oh, you know, it's one of those.
That was in Chicago. I remember that. Yep.
Lost his head. I mean, he almost lost his head.
Yeah.
And you can't survive. And so I think as much as teams love to, you know, to copycat each other and love to look at, you know, what Lamar has been able to do, ultimately he still doesn't win the playoffs, because to me, you know, teams are going to force you, good teams, playoff teams, are going to force you to beat them from the pocket. They're going to make you beat them from the pocket. And if you don't have that skill set, ultimately you might be really good in the regular season, but you're not going to win a championship without that skill set.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth here with us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on our NFL draft preview show. And I was telling Grody a few minutes ago, I'm going to be watching closely Shane Waldron. After the Bears draft Caleb, and he'll take the field a few days later for the first mini camp and all these other things. But now this development arc that we're talking about will be on Caleb, yes, but then also on the Bears coaches. And I'm curious for your thoughts on the timeline the Bears are operating on here, because it's yet another sort of incongruent timeline where Matt Eberflus is going to be under pressure to win games this year. And he's been given this roster now that's really suited to win games this season, while he will also have a rookie quarterback to do so with. How do you view that from a timeline perspective for the position the Bears will be in?
Yeah, I think that you look at it and you say, hey, listen, we're not asking you necessarily to be a playoff team or win the division, but you got to be competitive. You got to be, you know, you got to win 8-9 games. You got to be showing that, hey, within another year of development, we're going to be right there. I think what they did defensively last year, you know, the trade they made for Montez Sweat, the way some of the young guys played on the back end, you know, premier cornerback play from Johnson. I love what they did there. And then, you know, then it comes down to what you do with that 9th pick overall and how you continue to invest in the program. And then Shane Waldron, the offense that you install, the way you run the ball, the things you do to take the pressure off the quarterback, to have that guy have some success early, is going to be very important. And if you see that, like, I can't tell you what the record's got to be, I can't tell you any of that, but when you see the progress, you can, I mean, you guys will be able to see it, you'll be able to feel it, and you'll be able to see how it grows and how it becomes congruent over the course of the season. When you see that stuff, then you're like, okay, we're on the right path. And that's really all you're looking for, is to be on the right path.
Yes.
And to do some things that make you feel like, hey, man, we're on our way to being good. And that's what I'm always looking for.
Yeah, like where the evidence is overwhelming that even if it's not a playoff winning season, you could be like, yeah, that team is on the come. And that's absolutely the direction I hope the Bears are heading in for sure. While we have you, Mark, and I know you talk a lot of Denver Broncos football on the radio in Denver on 104.3 The Fan. And I am very intrigued about the Broncos at number 12. What is the talk in Denver, and what would you like to see the Broncos do?
Well, I mean, the talk is all about quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And, you know, I sit on my radio show, and I've watched all these quarterbacks. I've gone through, you know, three or four complete games and the coaches tape on every one of them. And my thought process is there's not one of the guys that I'd run up and get. Like, there's nobody that I would sit there and say, yeah, that's a great deal. I'm going to trade for that guy and go get, you know, him at number three and cost myself the next two or three drafts. Mm. So, I look at it like they all come from a system that I think is flawed, no fault of college. You know, there's very limited time you have to work with guys. So it's not college's fault, but it doesn't really prepare guys to play. One of the reasons that I think J.J. McCarthy is shooting up draft boards is because he actually played in a system that mimics the National Football League, where, you know, he had to call plays, he had to call an NFL offense. They used formations, and they used personnel groupings. They weren't in four wides all the time. They weren't 11 all the time. They weren't always spread. They condensed formations. They motioned guys. They shifted guys and changed the strength of those formations. So there was aspects of professional football in what J.J. McCarthy did at Michigan. And the fact is that he had to call NFL plays. You know, he just didn't look to the sideline and go, hey, it's red barn rooster chicken on two, you know, let's go. That's not how they do it. So
That'd be an amazing play call, though,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Right? But the reason that he's shooting up draft boards is because he actually did things that are endemic of playing in the National Football League at Michigan. And he probably speaks the language right now where he goes into these meetings and everybody else can't even explain, like, what's your favorite play? Well, we ran this one play that we did this. Well, what was it called in the huddle? Well, we didn't. We just looked at the cards. Or JJ can go, hey, man, we got into trips right nasty. We went H left outside. Branch Buffalo, we can that with 18 handoff strong. And they're like, okay, this kid actually can call a play. Like, where everybody else goes, well, we just looked to the sideline and the pictures popped up and then we ran those pictures.
It's a very different thing when you can speak the language, when you've broken a huddle, when you've actually had to use the verbiage at a high level in college. It aids that transition. Wondering if you've, because the Bears will have that number 9 pick also, have you evaluated the offensive linemen in this draft cycle well enough to have a favorite guy there?
Not necessarily a favorite. I love the kid. And listen, man, there are so many of these Polynesian names that
Olu Fashanu.
Talesi Fuaga from Oregon State.
Yeah, and then,
I love the was it Fanaga kid from Oregon State?
Yeah.
Talese. He's got Talese Fuaga.
I think one of the cool things about Chicago too is that if you take an offensive lineman, and this is the interesting thing, you know, you've got guys that you've drafted, you've got guys at the tackle position, but if you decide to take a tackle, the transition from tackle to guard is easy compared to anywhere else. So, like, if you've got a guy that you like at tackle, but you don't love him, and you decide to draft a kid, you can say, hey, we're going to play either the kid a guard, or, hey, we're going to move the tackle down to guard, and it's just going to solidify our offensive line. So the one thing that's harder to do is to move from guard out to tackle. There's just different space. There's different, you know, there's more space. There's more freedom out there. And that's a harder transition, but there's a lot of tackles that move into guard and become very good guards. And that's just one of those transitions, that, you know, they make with a lot of guys in the NFL. So that could be a situation for the Bears that works out.
Yeah. I had somebody tell me, former GM, say, big guy or a fast guy. That's what you want at that number 9 spot. And, yeah, there are the Joe Alt, another one of those guys out of Notre Dame, who's a big-time prospect. So we shall see. Mark Schlereth, it is a pleasure, as always, to get your insights. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road here.
My pleasure. You guys be well. Take care.
Yep, thank you. Yeah. It's your guy. Have you worked with him? I assume that you've probably worked
No.
Really?
Cross pass over at Fox Sports a few times, okay. And I've been over there doing some stuff out in L.A., but never actually worked with him.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I told a former general manager that I had Brock
that your
Bowers.
Nickname was Stink?
No, not that name is – I might stink. That's possible. But did I ever tell you about the time that I suggested to him on the radio that the Bears should take a tight end – with the number 9 overall spot. Actually, I had them moving down to 13.
The way you framed
it. That would be a reach for me, Mark.
There's a little preview right there.
Okay.
So when we come back, I would like you to hear this former GM, who just happens to have been an executive of the year as well in the last 25 years.
You debated Ryan Pace. Okay.
So not Ryan Pace. I will reveal the general manager, and I will reveal the full content when we return on the Scores NFL Draft Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Draft Preview Special with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station.
We do a program around here seasonally on The Score called On the Clock. Back-to-back years of this show, we just completed our second season, even though the Bulls ripped us off of what was supposed to be the emotional final farewell from 2024. But thanks to our producer tonight, Alex Kuhn, we had an array of great and diverse guests throughout it. One of those guys was the former general manager for the New Orleans Saints, Randy Mueller. You remember Randy Mueller?
I do, yeah.
Randy Mueller, who happened to be the executive of the year in the year 2000 with the New Orleans Saints. So we had him on as a guest on the Clock recently. And one of the things that I did with my first mock draft was I had the Bears trading down from 9 to 13 with the Raiders, and the Bears at 13 taking Brock Bowers, the projected top tight end in this draft out of Georgia. Here were the results from Randy Mueller on my suggestion to him on that.
Well, that would be a reach for me, Mark. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm with some. That for me is a position that, one, you don't need, and two, I'm not sure the priority would make any sense. I do know this. They'll stack their board accordingly. So I would doubt that any scenario, being we know how they feel about Cole Kmet, I doubt they would ever stack their board to where that was possible. And I hope that makes
sense.
No,
it does. It does.
Yeah. They won't give themselves that option because I don't think they've done justice to the team build if they were to stack the tight end room like you're saying. Tight ends are tight ends. We love them, but they're still tight ends.
Oh, man.
I'm hoping they draft a big guy or a fast guy.
Okay.
Let's just stick to that for right now.
Okay, big guy or a fast guy. And I've been using that since. That was Randy Mueller there with me.
Well, that would be a reach for me, Mark.
It's a good straightforward way to look at it, a big guy or a fast guy. There should be plenty of those available, I mean, in the NFL draft. But especially with a pick that's in that range, top 10, top 15, should be guys with both size and speed available.
Absolutely. An offensive lineman or a wide receiver is exactly what he is thinking right there. I still don't know if I agree with him on sort of a dime a
dozen.
You
want either a short guy or a slow guy is what you're hoping with the Bears' second pick. Who wants size and speed in the draft? I mean, what's Randy talking about here?
No, I am talking about the first
is
part.
That your mock? Your mock is full of really short, really slow guys.
That's how you build a team. Okay, we tried everything else. The Bears have only won 6 playoff games since 1985. Let's change the way we do things.
We got to, man.
Tupac.
We got to change the cycle. That's what this is about.
We must change the cycle. No, I can understand how it would sound like. I'm talking about the Brock Bowers portion of it.
Specifically, the Brock Bowers
and
aspect.
And the generalities on the time. tight end position, the sort of dime a dozen mentality that he has for them. And I understand what he's saying in terms
of... Randy's been around some quality tight ends.
Well, that's what you heard me with him. I was conceding. Yeah. I wasn't trying to fight the former GM of the year in terms of his football knowledge or his tight end opinion. But maybe, and I get distracted by the shiny object of there are elite tight ends that exist now and how they can transform a team. But really quickly, do you agree with him in short that drafting a tight end like or just drafting Brock Bowers would be a bad move for a team in say the top 15? Because that's essentially what Randy Mueller is saying.
I don't think for any team.
Okay.
I do kind of think for the Bears though. I mean, the Bears need just more playmakers. So Brock Bowers is another playmaker. I wouldn't hammer Ryan Poles for doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, out of things the Bears really need to come out of this draft with, the wide receiver position, now that you've gotten Keenan Allen, I don't prioritize that as much. So I wouldn't hammer them from getting Roman Dunze. But if they did, I used the term at some point last week, it would feel a little bit gluttonous to go ahead and do that when you've already upgraded receiver.
Yeah.
I think certainly at tight end with the moves they've already made and what they've got on the depth chart there. Again, I wouldn't hammer them for it, but find a pass rusher. Find some more depth on the offensive line.
You're
only going to have two tight ends on the field at once anyway.
We got a break here to make way for our next guest, but we will return to that. I can't believe that you just said that the Bears acquiring more offense, the Chicago Bears acquiring more offense would be gluttonous.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been paying attention to the franchise? So we'll
definitely come back to that.
I definitely want to come back to that. I'll also have my second mock draft for you in about 20 minutes or so.
Right.
See if I can make good for the fail, apparently, of the last one.
I cannot wait to mock
your mock. That would be a reach for me, Mark.
Shot me down. So I'll have my mock draft 2.0 and a letter from an 11-year-old regarding the NFL draft that I received today. It was amazing. So I will share that with you in about 20 minutes. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk to EJ Schneider of the Bootleg Podcast, who he performs that with Brett Coleman as well. EJ is great. He has also been on the clock, so we will spray to all fields with him and focus on the Bears. And by the way, the Mark Schlereth, the Odyssey NFL insider from whom you just heard a little while ago, Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Make sure to follow the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Along with Big Ann Heron, I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.